I was thinking about, there were several things I was thinking about in terms of today's service. But what kept coming up was all of the negative comments that I've been hearing, not by any of you in here, no, I'm not talking about you, okay. But I've been hearing about the ministry, the Redeeming Love Christian Center is no longer relevant, you know, and all the things. And by the way, we're not relevant, but the town supervisor asked me if I would give the benediction at the 9/11 ceremony this Friday. Amen. And I accepted. Okay. But it doesn't matter what people say. What matters, folks, is what God has said. And according to what God has said, our season ain't over. So if our season's not over, guess what? Your season's not over either. Okay? Pastor Sarah may not be a quote-unquote active pastor, but her season is not over. It's not over. Okay? Look at 1 Corinthians. God told me to don't, he didn't say forget about 1 Peter, but he said, no, go right to 1 Corinthians. Yeah, don't forget about it. He still wants us to do that. But I guess for time's sake, so if you want to hear 1 Peter, you got to come back to the 12 o'clock service. Okay. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 20, King James Version. Let every man or woman abide, listen to this, in the same calling wherein he was called. It says, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So what you were called to do today is the same calling you're going to have 40 years from today. Because it says to abide in that calling. And you know what I did? I looked up the word abide. Well, according to Pastor Rick Renner, he said it comes from the Greek word meno, which means, listen to this, to stay, to remain, to continue, or to permanently abide. It gives the idea of something that lasts, remains, persists, or endures. It speaks of something that has lasting power. I looked at it in the concordance and found it also means not to depart. It means to continue to be present, not to perish. That means not to give up. It means to last. It means to endure. So if you're going to abide in your calling from God, there are going to be some things that you're going to have to endure. You're going to have to persist. There were some things that Clinton and Sarah Utterbach had to put up with. That's right. Some of those things was us. But they had to endure and they had to live it. It says permanently abide. So that means their whole life had to conform to their calling. Their whole life. Jeremiah 3:15 says, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall lead you with knowledge and understanding. It does not say they'll lead you based on whatever's popular in the world at that time. And then Romans 11, and I'm going to share these verses a lot. I've given our production team more verses than I ever did, but they're all repeats for the most part of the same ones. But in Romans 11, verse 29, I'm going to share it in the King James, and then I'm going to share it in the Amplified. It says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. That means God is going to say, why in the world did I tell Clinton and Sarah to pastor this church? What was I thinking about when I told Greg and Ed to say yes? I should have never done that. No, God's gifts and callings are without repentance. And so when you start thinking about, is my season over, Romans 11:29 in the Amplified Classic Edition says, for God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never, listen to this, he never withdraws them when once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. Every single person in this room has a calling on their life. And whether you do it or not, God is not withdrawing that calling from your life. And he's not sorry that he called you. So why did he call me? Because you are the best person to do what he wants done. And he doesn't care how old you are or how young you are. Once he calls and gives a gift, he never withdraws it. He didn't, when we didn't like the way Pastor Sarah may have said something to us, guess what? Her calling was not withdrawn. It wasn't withdrawn. When you tried out for the praisers and Pastor Clinton said no, his calling wasn't withdrawn. See, it doesn't matter if we think someone missed it. All that matters is we didn't do the calling. But we were called. What do I mean by that? Just like they were called to pastor, Pastor Ed and I were called to pastor, you were called to be pastored. And God didn't say, why did I send them to RLCC? No. He sent you here because he has pastors who accepted the calling to lead the people after God's own heart for that group of people. So yes, tomorrow's the 40th anniversary. And I'm going to read something. You'll find this on the website. It says, a burning commitment to follow and please God was the motivation that stirred Clinton and Sarah Utterbach to answer the call of God on their lives. A burning commitment to follow and to please God. Folks, that shows us, that tells us, that lets us know what's necessary to operate in your calling. You have to have a burning commitment to follow and to please. Burning commitment. Yes, were there times I wanted to leave? Yes. And not just when Pastor Clinton and Sarah were pastors. But I may run away from here, but I can never run away from God's call on my life to be here. So I stay. Don't think I don't hear. You know, the devil will make sure that I hear the negative stuff being said about me. He'll make sure. My attitude is, it's not going to change my love for the people. And it's not going to change the calling that God placed on my life. So that means it ain't gonna change my decision to stay. You're stuck with me. And Pastor Ed, until God decides, there's something else. And when God decides it's something else, it's because we have fulfilled our purpose for his call. See, folks, we're not the ones to decide our season is over. We're not. One of the things that I said to my wife, to Deacon Phyllis, I had never found any place in the scriptures where God called someone and that individual decided, you know, I think my season's over, God. They did what God told them to do until God called them home. So if God called you to be a host or a hostess, you're a host or a hostess until he calls you home. That's what he called you to do. He called me to the youth department, and I snuck away from that and went to being a host because I didn't like that calling to the youth department. And it's not that God made it hard for me, but I was operating in my own strength outside of his anointing, because the anointing on me, the gifts that I needed to properly fulfill my calling was bestowed for the youth department, not for host. So I had to get my little self together and join the youth department, which was where I was called to be. And I stayed there until God called me someplace else. I stayed there. And I was I tried to leave. I'd give hints to Pastor Clinton. I tell him, you know, I think the youth department, they need to have some folks in there that are a little closer to the age, you know, of the children. He said, yeah, that's why you find staff that are younger. And you train them up. I'm like, oh, well, that didn't work. But going back to what's written, it said their obedience, talking about Clinton and Sarah, to the call resulted in them making a life-changing decision. The call from God is always going to require you make a decision. And that was to leave successful careers, their home and family, in order to attend Rhema Bible Training Center, now Rhema Bible Training College. And more importantly, their obedience resulted in countless souls, bodies, marriages, and lives being changed for good by the power of God just because of the gospel of Christ, which the Utterbox had committed their lives to proclaim. So they made a commitment that everything about them was going to point to Jesus. And quite a few never expected that the ministry would last. They were told that they were too old to go to Bible school. Too old. Like God doesn't know how old they are. Okay. And as we shared, countless numbers of people have been blessed. Plus over 50 plus churches have grown from this one. And here's the amazing thing. Pastor Sarah shared that God told her that they were not his first choice. So God put a calling on his second choice, or third choice. We don't know where they were in the choice line. And look what he accomplished, because they embraced the call. They embraced the call. They made the calling their lifestyle. They didn't try and mold the calling to fit their life. They molded their life to fit the calling. You need to write that down. You have to mold your life to fit the calling of God. You have to mold your life to fit the calling of God on your life. You have to mold your life to fit the calling of God on your life. And as I said, some disagree with their stance, some disagree with their position, some disagree with their choices, some disagree with the way they dressed, some disagree with the way they required we dress. You know? But that didn't matter. You know what mattered? 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20. Abide in the same calling wherein they were called. Romans 11. God's gift and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them once they're given, and he does not change his mind about those whom he gives his grace or to whom he sends his call. So see, it doesn't matter to me if Pastor Red and I were God's first choice or we were choice 7,863. All that matters is he called us. And we said yes. That's all that matters. And what anyone thinks is between them and God has nothing to do with me or him. Because they didn't call us. God said, I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. And he didn't change his mind about that. So he gave you pastors and will continue to give this ministry pastors who will continually feed the people with knowledge and understanding of him and his word. Period. Period. And his gifts and his call are irrevocable. Irrevocable. Pastors Clinton and Sarah had to stick with it. And yes, in sticking with it, faces have changed, procedures have changed, but you know what? The word hasn't changed. The way it's delivered may have changed. I don't have a voice like Pastor Clinton. And I don't look like Pastor Sarah. She tried to get me to put a figurine in my office of some figure like, and I'm like, no. Thank you for the thought, Mom, but no, that's not going to my office. That's a bit too feminine for me. But see, the calling on and for Redeeming Love Christian Center and the gifts that he's bestowed on this ministry have not changed. Have not changed. That's why the Holy Ghost told Pastor Red, well, I'll sing the singers and musicians, not because you're a great musical church, but you're a great spiritual church. Why did he say that to Pastor, to then Ed Funstein? Because the calling on this place, Redeeming Love Christian Center, was to be a great spiritual church. Not necessarily a great musical church. People come here to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. To know the difference between the Spirit of God and too much pepperoni pizza. Okay. See, I know the pepperoni pizza will cause an elevation in my blood pressure. The Holy Ghost doesn't do that. He keeps things nice and normal. To the point, I used to take half meds. Now I take quarter meds before I minister because the anointing causes my blood pressure to drop too low when it's on meds. I wish I could walk around in the anointing all the time. I wouldn't take any meds. That's right, Lord. He said, I don't have to be under the anointing not to take meds. Amen. For God's gifts, Romans 11, 29, for God's gifts and his call. Look, why don't you say this with me? For God's gifts and his call are irrevocable. He never withdraws them when once they are given. And he does not change his mind about those to whom he gives his grace, or to whom he sends his call. See, what he expects, folks, is what we read in 1 Corinthians 7, that every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. What he told me in 2013, in 2006, is no different than what he's telling me in 2020. Why? It's the same call. The same thing that needed to be done in 2006 needs to be done in 2020. People need to be fed with knowledge and understanding. Period. Especially. So when we're called by God, we need to abide in it because our season is not over. But I saw something in Genesis. Actually, I saw it when we were on a seasoned citizen's cruise. And those that were on the cruise may recognize this a little. It's not quite the same, but you may recognize it. When Adam and Eve were walking, when God was walking in the garden after Adam and Eve sinned, God called out to Adam because Adam and Eve, what were they doing? Yeah, that's right, they were hiding. Were they called? Yes, they were called. Yes, they had gifts given to them. In Genesis 3, verse 8, said, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? And he answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And he, being God, said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat? God showed me three questions based on that statement. These are the three questions he asked Adam. Where are you in relation to my calling? Where are you? You know what I called you to do. Are you abiding in that? Are you following my instructions? And who told you you're no longer covered? Those are the things we need to check. Those are markers that we need to check concerning ourselves. Where are we in relationship to our calling? Are we following God's instructions? And who is it that we're allowing to tell us that God's not covering us? Where are you in relationship to your calling? Are you where God told you to be? Are you doing what God told you to do? Where are you? Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah had to make sure they were right where they were supposed to be. Are you following my instructions? If the answer to that for Adam and Eve was yes, they'd never eaten from it, wouldn't have eaten from the tree. But they did not follow the instructions that went along with the calling. And who told you that God's no longer got you covered? And if I could, I'd add another one. And why are you listening to him? When you know what God told you, people have come to me and have told me things, told Pastor Ed and I think things during meetings, and they'd leave and we'd look at each other. And we'd make ourselves say, and we'd say to the person, I'm not going to tell you you didn't hear from God because I'm not him. I don't know him to work that way. But that's not saying he doesn't. We recommend you make sure that the voice you're hearing is God's. And if God tells you to go to East whatever, wherever, and you come and you tell us, and we say, I'm not sensing that that's where you should go. But you really believe that God told you, we're not going to be insulted if you go. I asked Pastor Sarah a question. I said, what do you do when you believe God is telling you to do something and you know it's not something that's normally done at that particular time during a service? If I had a question, I asked. Their job is to fill me with knowledge and understanding. If I don't tell them that I need some knowledge and understanding, they won't pour it in. So yes, I ask questions. And Pastor Sarah said to me, she said, Gregory, you get up out of your seat and you walk down to the floor and you don't get your nose bent out of joint if you get corrected. She said, because that's how you learn. Anytime after, I got something. If someone came over and said, would you please go back to your seat? Go right back to my seat. It's like that. Hey, if it was God, I didn't miss it. But if it was God and I didn't do it, I missed it. And I'll tell you something. I would have to give an answer to God for not going. I can't say, God, yeah, I know it was you, but this isn't the right time, so I'm not going. No, there's a song, right now is the right time. Okay. God wasn't playing hide and seek with Adam and Eve. He wanted them to realize they were not where they needed to be. I can't believe it. I'm out of time already. Okay. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. We have to make sure we're relationally in the right place based on our calling. We have to make sure we're following all of God's instructions. And we have to turn a deaf ear to those that are trying to tell us that God's not in it. That God's not in it. God promised to provide all our needs. And you know how I feel about the word all. All means all, period. All means all. And I will tell you this. You know I like good movies and I see principles and things in just about everything. And I know just practically everybody has seen the Star Wars trilogy or Star Wars and knows some of the characters anyway. But the Jedi had this thing, they called it a Jedi mind trick, where they could speak something to you and you would repeat it and then do it. But when they tried to use it on General Grievous or Darth Vader or Count Dooku, it didn't work. Why? They were strong in what they believed. So they weren't moved. They knew you were trying to play mind games with them, but they weren't falling for it because they knew who they were. And they knew who they would turn to for their strength. We have to be like that. Not turn to the dark side. Okay. We have to have that same strength that we know who we are and we know whose we are. We know who called us and we know who gifted us for the call. And that's why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. And the voice of a stranger, what will he do? He'll run from it. He'll run from it. Now, let me tell you this one last thing about calling. Don't be concerned about the logistics. Don't be concerned with how you're going to do it. That ain't your responsibility. Your responsibility, answer the call. Your responsibility, shape your life to match or to fit the call. All of the other logistics are not under your control. It's God's responsibility to do everything else. Your responsibility is to get you in the right place. His responsibility is to open doors, tear down strongholds, move people out of the way, work things out, put all the pieces together so you just go. But you have to have the commitment to go. Your season's not over. Amen. You see, God doesn't care if you're a newborn or if you're approaching 100. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, and he never will withdraw them once they are given. So I'm going to close with this. I wish I can go. Maybe Wednesday he'll let me expand on this, even though we're streaming, but we won't have this time constraint because we have another service. So I'll close with Romans 11. Romans 8. 28, King James Version, says, and we know, say, I know, that all things work together for good to them that love, to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So that lets us know that all you have to do is answer the call and God will work all things together for good. God said the people will come and the money will. See, he called the ministry and he called people. The people will come and the money will come. Where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, spirit of God directing, and the power of God is manifested. It's a calling placed on this ministry. And no matter who is it over the ministry, that calling stands. Hallelujah. The people will come and the money will come was spoken to this ministry. It stands. Hallelujah. The word spoken to me and Pastor Ed when we were ordained by Reverend Hagen. As the two of you work together, each one allowing the other's strength to come to the top, you'll be like the phoenix rising from the ashes. Kingdom words. What he had Apostle Mike come and say, you, Redeeming Love Christian Center, is a forward fire base. And the money will come and it'll be much more than you expect. We just have to stay steady and operate within the call, the calling, with the gifts that go along with it, and you have to do the same thing. So if we operate in what we're called to do as leaders, and you operate as you're called to do as the congregation, man, the explosion of the glory of God coming from this place will be worldwide. Worldwide. Because we now understand that God's gifts and his callings are never withdrawn. Never withdrawn. Amen. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, you got in what you wanted to get in the time that we had this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your gifts and your callings. Thank you, Lord, for not repenting that you called us even when we miss it. Even when we miss it by accident and when we carefully plan out missing it, you still will not withdraw your call from our lives. Thank you for having that kind of faith in us. Knowing before we were formed in our mother's womb, the bonehead things we were going to do. You still called us. You still gifted us. Thank you for making it clear to us that we're not supposed to fit the call into our lives. We're supposed to let our lives fit into the call. So we thank you that by your Spirit, you will show us how we are to mold our lives to fit into your calling. You'll show us how to use the gifts that you've given each of us so that we can fulfill our calling. And Father, all through it, we're going to continue to give you glory and honor and praise because we're going to be pressing for the mark of the prize of the high calling of you, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm excited about this.
Yes, I am.
I am excited about this. I wish I had more time. One thing that's absolutely necessary in order for you to receive and respond to the call of God on your life is you have to receive the person of Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have to do the same thing out there. Well, how do you do that? It's very simple. Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So say this with me. Father God, I believe that you are God, and I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son. Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you were buried and went to hell in my place. And I also believe that after 3 days in hell, God raised you from the dead and you're coming again soon. So I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. I turn from my past ways as an act of repentance and I turn towards you and I'm asking you, make something new of me. And it's in your name that I pray. Well, friend, if you made that confession, if you said it with your mouth and you believe it in your heart, according to the Bible, you just got born again. And Jesus came and he's moving into your heart right now. Moving into your heart. But there's some information that we have that will help you get started. So if you use the contact information that's on the screen, and just let us know, I prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg, and I'm born again, we will send you some free information. Free information. Just to let you know who you've become and get you started off on the right foot. And as always, if you have any questions about anything I've shared, use the same contact information and send me an email, a letter, a note, you know, a holler. I may not get back to you the same day, but I promise I will get back to you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get anything?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Okay, 11, 12, 13. Did you get anything?
Yes.
Yes. Amen.